Hello and welcome to our service. My name's Chris, I'm the Rector of St Mary's and the Ely team. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you are welcome here. This morning we start the season of Advent when we look forward to Christmas and the birth of Jesus. Last Christmas, who would have dreamt that we would have had a year battling it out with an unknown virus and be just about to come out of a second lockdown? Who would have imagined that we would have spent the year unable to properly hug our loved ones, that some of us would have lost our jobs or had to close our business through the virus, and that some of us indeed would have lost loved ones to the disease? Well, we do hope that St Mary's remains a place of comfort and joy in this time, a safe place to recover and heal, and to gain practical, emotional and spiritual support for whatever has been thrown at us during 2020 and whatever is to come in the months ahead. Shall we pray this special prayer from the Church of England for this time? Loving Father, would you draw near to all those who are grieving and all those with poor physical and mental health today? Would you comfort them in their suffering so that they may know your peace and love? Would you give them your strength to face the day and a deep sense of hope for the future? May they know that they are not alone in their suffering, but that you walk alongside them. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. At Christmas, the birth of Jesus reminds us that out of poverty can come something of great value. Out of oppression can come hope. From the home of an ordinary couple can come hope for the world indeed. From the life of Jesus can come comfort and joy together. Just to let you know that we're continuing another round of phone calls to those in the St Mary's community who might be isolated at the moment. So if you know anyone likely to be in this position, please let us know. Just like the Good Shepherd, we don't want to miss anyone at all. So let's begin our service by lighting our first Advent candle. Please pray the words in bold as the candle is lit. People of God, awake. The day is coming soon, when you shall see God face to face. Remember the ways and the works of God. God calls you out of darkness to walk in the light of his coming. You are God's children. Lord, make us one as we walk with Christ today and forever. Amen. A chance now to worship and sing about that Jesus who took his place on earth at that first Christmas, and to appreciate all he means to us. Please sing along or just sit and meditate on the words of the song.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. The hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. He didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Our sin was great, your love was great.
What a wonderful name.
nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You sighed as the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name! What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Again, a really big thank you to our worship bands who have been creating the music for our services and continue to do so over Christmas. Thank you very much. Now I'd like to hand over to Emily and Richard to bring us our Bible reading, and then we'll go straight over to Stephen for our talk.
Jerusalem, go up on the high mountains and proclaim the good news. Call out with a loud voice, Zion, announce the good news. Speak out and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah that their God is coming. The sovereign Lord is coming to rule with power, bringing with him the people he has rescued. He will take care of his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs together and carry them in his arms. He will gently lead their mothers.
And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
It's the first Sunday of Advent, and today we think about hope. And I found sitting with that word, that concept, a real challenge, because sometimes it can feel like we find ourselves in a hopeless place, or a place where hope is hard to grasp and grapple. Sometimes it can feel like that light at the end of the tunnel is slowly being dimmed. We use phrases like, I've lost hope, I'm hopeless. If you read the book of Job, it's full of Job proclaiming that his hope is gone, that he has no more hope. And that, if I'm honest, is the place I find myself as I embark on this talk. I'm sad. And I'm sad about the church and I've lost hope that it will ever be a place where all are loved and included, or that to get to that place there will be great pain, more pain than has already been caused by those who seek to exclude, to oppress. And so I went on a search for a image of hope that I could pin my hopes to. And I found one that I would like to share with you. I found it on Twitter, which, of all places to find hope, is an unusual one. But I saw a tweet which reminded us that it was 8 years ago that the governing body of the Church of England, which is like, it's called General Synod, and they make decisions and they vote on things. And 8 years ago, they voted on whether women could become bishops. And sadly, devastatingly, guttingly, 8 years ago, that vote failed. It didn't pass, and not enough people were in favour of that happening. And I saw a reply to that from the Reverend Kate Botley, who you may know as the vicar from Gogglebox or from Songs of Praise. And she was sharing that on that day 8 years ago, she bought a bottle of bubbly and she put it in the fridge and she left it there. And she opened it 3 years later in 2015 when Libby Lane was consecrated, the first woman to take up the office of bishop in the Church of England. And as I read that story, and as I sat with that, it did begin to feel like that light at the end of the tunnel got slightly brighter. And so we bring in the story of Zechariah. Zechariah was the dad of John the Baptist. He's Elizabeth's husband, if you know anything about the Christmas story. And he's a priest, and he's been in the temple, and he's been silenced by God. He can't say a thing. And then he proclaims something which is beautiful and mighty. And it comes from a place of an awareness that the world is not what it should be. And this is a theme which we read through the entirety of Scripture. Jacob echoes this in Genesis 49, and so does Hannah in 1 Samuel, and so does the psalmist time and time and time again. Something is wrong in the world. There is suffering, and there is darkness. There is pain and death and weeping. Maybe this is something that we can resonate with, particularly as we draw to the end of 2020, recognising that this year has not been what we would have hoped. This has not necessarily been a year where we have seen hope triumph, although things seem like they are beginning to change. So from this place of darkness, from this place of silence, Zechariah's lips are opened and he proclaims what has been called a prophetic poem of hope. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our lives. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. This has become such a poem of prophetic hope that actually I was just reading from Morning Prayer, which if you're a good Anglican, unlike me, you might do every morning. All is not well with the world, but it will be. This is a poem about God acting at last. Finally, God is going to do what God has promised to do all along. Someone is coming. Someone from the family of David, King David, which of course was incredibly important. And this person is going to bring light and life and peace. And those are three things which Zechariah clearly feels spurred by God to say are important things that are necessary for the world then. But I think we might also agree are important and crucial for our world today. Light and life and peace. But 2,000 years later, or many, many years later, what does this mean for us? Well, I guess as we stand on the precipice of Advent, with whatever COVID restrictions will look like, whatever tiers we find ourselves in, and whatever status and rolling out of the vaccine will look like, despite the perilous journey of Advent, Christ will come. December the 25th will roll round, and we will be celebrating Christmas, whatever that looks like. And whether we have a tree and presents, stockings, whether we've got everyone we want round the table, or people are missing, it doesn't stop that what we are celebrating is God entering the world. A God who didn't come with a fanfare. There was no fuss around his birth. But a God who came quietly, maybe in the night, in a stable or a cave. Yeah, there were some odd visitors, but other than that, it's quite an unremarkable moment in history. But of course, it's not unremarkable at all. It's a reminder that God's sunrise will break in upon us, shining on those in the darkness, those who are sitting in the shadow of death. It's God showing us the way, one foot at a time, down the path of peace. What I think I like about Kate Bottley's action with that bottle of bubbly is that she didn't put it in the cupboard. She didn't place it somewhere where it would be forgotten or where it would grow dust. No. It went into the fridge. I don't know how many times a day you open the fridge, but when I want to get the milk out to make my housemate a cup of tea, or when I want some water from the jug in the fridge, making my lunch, making dinner, that fridge gets opened many, many, many times a day. So by placing that bottle of bubbly in the fridge, there is an anticipation, an expectation that soon, soon it will be drunk. And inspired by that, I've done the same. I've bought a bottle of bubbly and I'm going to put it in my fridge. And I'll open it on the day when the church is ready to widen and include more in its doctrine of marriage. And that may be a long time, but that bottle of bubbly is going to be a reminder that I must not lose hope, and good things will come. So this Advent, let us not lose hope, but let us be expectant and anticipating the coming of Jesus into our lives, into our homes, into the lives of our friends and family this Christmas. Let us pray. Loving God, where we feel like we sit in darkness, may your light come. Loving God, maybe where we feel lonely, may your comfort come. Where we feel pain, may your healing come. Where we grieve, may your comfort come. When we lose hope, may we place our trust in you. And as we journey through this Advent, may we prepare ourselves once again to celebrate your coming, bringing light and life and peace into our world. In your holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. The prophets of the Old Testament pointed the way to Jesus long before he was born and created a desire on earth for a Messiah just like Jesus. And so with those early Christians, let's sing now that this is my desire to honour you, Jesus. With all that I have within me, I give you praise. Please join in at home.
Have your way in me.
We come now to a time of reflection. We acknowledge those times when we have deliberately wandered away from God's protection and influence. Let's take a moment of silence to bring to mind those things we'd have God forgive in our lives. As we pray, please use the response, "Forgive us and help us." For the times that we have behaved irresponsibly towards your gifts of creation, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. For the times that we've ignored the spiritual and material needs of those who are not so fortunate as ourselves, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. For the times that we've failed to proclaim your gospel through indifference, selfishness, or bad example, Lord, in your mercy, forgive us and help us. God, our Father, our Shepherd, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and bring us to everlasting life. Create in us hearts of faithfulness and lives of service to you. Amen. Amen. And now an opportunity to declare our faith in God. Together we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I'd like to hand over to Sally and Chris Fry, who are going to lead our prayers today.
Let us pray. Lord, in these difficult times, where many are suffering grievously, we cling to you, our Rock and Saviour, to herald in better days and fill the dark tunnels of despair with your divine light. We remind ourselves of the promises made by you through your prophets, that you, our God, will gather up and protect us, your sheep, from the dangers of the world. We give you thanks for the gift of your Son, by whose blood we are saved.
We ask that you bring comfort to those suffering as a result of the COVID pandemic. Be with those who are lonely and missing the loving touch of their family and friends. Lift up those who are experiencing worry as a result of loss of income or debt, as a result of threats to their businesses and jobs. Be with those experiencing mental health issues caused by lockdown and delays to medical and dental treatments as a result of cancelled and delayed appointments. Give strength and guidance to those who can help our brothers and sisters in their time of need, and prompt those of us who can to take the necessary action to make a difference.
We thank you, Lord, for the encouraging news on vaccines. We acknowledge your hand in this potentially game-changing development and ask you to work with those responsible for the vaccination rollout programme. Help those in government, the NHS and other key bodies to perform this incredibly important task to the best of their ability.
We bring the US election to you, Lord. This most bitter of occasions has revealed the deep divisions and anger that exist in this country. Be with Joe Biden and his team to help deliver a smooth transition of power. Strengthen him and his team to deal with the huge challenges ahead in the areas of COVID, climate change, foreign affairs, jobs in the economy, and racial disharmony. Endow him with strength, resilience, and good health. We pray that he will seek your wisdom and guidance so that he may work for unity rather than division and implement pragmatic policies that will help the many and not the few. Encourage him to surround himself by people whose only desire is to serve and support those on whom they depend.
Lord, we bring to you the major issue of climate change and the impact this will have on our world unless we collectively address the issues of rising temperatures, deforestation and emissions. We thank you for the fact that the US is committed to rejoining the Paris Accord and initiatives such as action on petrol and diesel vehicles. We ask that all governments work in harmony to achieve carbon neutrality as soon as possible. we pray that politicians will include climate change in their priorities for action.
Finally, Lord, we bring to you those who we know personally who are struggling in these difficult times. Wrap them in your cloak of love and compassion, and please bring them relief from their suffering.
Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Sally and Chris. And now let's gather all of our prayers together today in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Please do join in at home. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And finally, our giving prayer, offering the money we give to all the team churches for their work in the community and amongst our mission partners. Together. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, at your table we present our gifts to aid the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. If you haven't yet discovered the joy of giving to your local church and would like to do so, please get in touch with the office, telling us which team church you're from, and we'll send you the giving pack. Thank you. Just a couple of things before we finish. Hopefully you'll have had an email or mail headlining all of our Christmas events, so don't miss out on the opportunity to share the comfort and joy with those around you. Please do think very carefully which event you'd like to bring your friends to. It would be great if we could all commit to inviting someone, maybe two or three people this Christmas, to join us online or in person in the church. That way we have a chance of sharing God's love with everyone in Ely and the surrounding villages. So let's finish with a song where we recognise that Jesus' grace is enough. His presence in us lights the way by the power of his word. We are restored, we are redeemed. By his Spirit, we are set free. Please do join in at home, or let God use the words to speak to you about the lengths Jesus went to bring comfort, joy, life and love to the world, including Ely, including you, in Advent 2020.
Thank you.
we come to our final blessing. Father, please be with us as we carry the light of hope into the city and the villages. Jesus, please make us ready to share our faith with our neighbours. Holy Spirit, please make us strong as we share God's love with the waiting world. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Goodbye, everyone. See you next week for the second Sunday in Advent.